redeemed us from sin. You know, it's one thing to talk about redemption, but you can't talk about redemption unless you talk about sin. Sin is what puts a person into bondage. Redemption's what'll purchase you out of it. But if you don't know you got the sin, you'll never know you're into bondage. You'll never get out of it. That's what makes precious, more precious than gold, because gold is temporal. Your soul's eternal. If a person doesn't get their soul redeemed, they'll never know life. Now somebody give me the verse in the Bible that would tell me that. We've got guests today. I would hope somebody would remember that. Don't look at your notes. I want you to remember it. Where was it? Come on, girl. You got it. What does it say? That's okay. Hey, you got John 3:36. I'm going to tell you what it says. It says, "He that believeth hath life everlasting. He that believeth not shall not see life." And I said there's a word missing. What's missing? Everlasting. Oh, look, you're going to be everlasting. It just won't be life. Because it goes on to say, "But the wrath of God abideth on you." I wish more people could believe that before they leave this world. Because if you believe it before you leave this world, you can leave this world with confidence that you're going to life. Well, let's see. Let's read on. Then read that, honey, that second verse. Read loud now.
Second verse?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the one out of the bottom? Love
caused the Savior.
Love caused the Savior to Calvary go. Love such has never been told. Really, he died that through him we might live. He is more precious than gold.
Yeah, boy. You know what makes him precious? He loved you and me and everyone else enough to come and die for us. Only his death could redeem us. Because the wages of sin is death. I wish more people believed that, folks. You know, we've got into this thing of everybody dies goes to heaven. I wish that were true. I wish that were true. Honestly, I do. But only the redeemed are going to heaven. You know, I didn't know that there was a third verse to that song. But there is. I'm going to read it. "We may possess all the wealth of this world. Wealthy, but lost in the cold. If we have Jesus, he's all that we need. He's more precious than gold." You say, "Tom, I'm not wealthy, so I don't quite get that verse." I'm not either, but I get that verse because I know wealthy people. I know wealthy people who put their trust in their wealth. Until they get a disease that their wealth can't help them with. Until the doctor says, son, ma'am, you got about 6 months to go. Then what's your wealth going to do for you? But if you walk into a saint of God that's been redeemed, that has had their sins forgiven, there is no bad news you can give me. As that song says, I'm a winner. Either way, if I go or if I stay, I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. Well, we've been talking about Isaiah and Romans. What's the theme of Isaiah? What's the theme of Romans? Salvation. And we said that that's what we're to go out and sow. Just grab you a big handful and go sow it. I wanted to talk to you this morning about the benefits of salvation. Now, I get that it's eternal life. I get that. But you know, God is so good, He gives more than that.
Amen.
Look at 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect. Now, I'm going to give you three S's in that second verse. The first one is select. Now, everyone knows what it means to select, right? Now, if I should ask Dwayne, do you know what it means to select someone to marry? And Dwayne would say, well, just look to my left. Out of all the young ladies that he could have selected, he chose her. He didn't have to. She didn't hold a gun to his head. He just selected her. But on a far greater stage, God selected us. That's what it means to be the elect, folks. It means you were selected. And to select someone means that you have chosen someone. God didn't have to choose you. God could have killed us all and started all over. He's God, by the way. You know, we forget sometimes He's God. We forget sometimes He's... You know, it's like that song Amy sings, when did I ever forget He was King of the World? You know, sometimes we try to help God out and we forget He's God. But in the fact that He's God, folks, He's sovereign. He chose you. And He chose you. And He chose you. He didn't have to. He chose you. And He chose you. He didn't have to. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Sanctified, there's that second S. Sanctified, set apart, made holy by the Holy Spirit of God. And sprinkled, There's that other S. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Now those three things determine your salvation. Take one away, you'll have no salvation. The Father chose you. The Holy Spirit sanctified you. And Christ sprinkled you with His blood. Now everyone knows about the blood, right? Everyone knows back in Exodus about the last plague, right? And if the blood wasn't over the doorpost, the death angel came in. But he says, where I see the blood, I will pass over you. We even have a song like that, don't we? Look, to be saved simply means this. You have been chosen of God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, sprinkled by the blood of Christ, made a child of God. Now, over in another chapter in Peter, it says this, that we were born again or begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Well, all he's doing is confirming what he said in chapter 1 here. It was God's Word that said, I'll select you. I'll sanctify you, and I'll sprinkle you with the blood, and you'll be mine. Wasn't that what he told Nicodemus? He said, Nicodemus, do what?
You must be born again.
Oh, there's a key word there too, isn't there, honey? What is the key word? Hey, bless God, the must. We've taken out the must, folks. You must be born again. But here he's telling you how that's done. First of all, he tells me that it's a godly thing. And when he says it's a godly thing, that means I can do nothing of my own. I cannot save myself. I can't turn over new leaves. I can't try to do better. I must be saved God's way. And then after that, he comes on down and he says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath or birthed us. Isn't that what he said you must do? You can't do it yourself, though. God must do it. You see, all a person can do, and I know sometimes this seems too simple, but it is simple. All a person can do is believe God. Believe God, first of all, that He's God. Believe God, second of all, about who we are. We are lost in sin, and only He has the remedy. It's not enough to hope you can do better. You can't do better. Only God can cause you to be born again. Now look, I know the world laughs at that, folks. I know the world scoffs at that. That, you know, they call us, oh, you're one of them born againers. Yeah, praise God, I am. And when I take my last breath, I'm going to be a born againer too. And I hope when they take their last breath, they're going to be a born againer. But if they don't, they're going to wish they had. Less than one second, after they take that last breath, they're going to wish they had listened to God instead of the world. Now, how do I know that? It's in the Bible. Where?
I don't know.
One example. Somebody give me one example that would prove that to me.
When the rich man lifted up his eyes,
That's what it says, doesn't it, honey? It was two men died.
Right.
The angels come and got one.
Yes.
And the second one lift up his eyes. Now, what does that tell you? Huh?
He looked at it.
Oh, no, that means just exactly what that other verse says. You'll never see life, but you're going to be in everlasting. You're going to know. You're going to feel.
Yeah.
All the senses that you had here. How many of you have ever touched a hot stove? We've all touched something hot. Boy, you know immediately when you do. Well, let me tell you something. You take your last breath without Christ in this world, my friend, and you're going to know immediately you've touched something hot. You know how I know that? Because God says so. Remember I told you last week, because God says so. Not because I say so. It doesn't make one hill of beans what Tom Foster says. But it makes all the difference what God says. God says that Christ is the propitiation for every man's sin. Period. So, it goes on to say, who hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living. Now the word hope simply means assurance. What that means is you're not hoping so. You're certain. You're certain. It's a living assurance. A lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Christ. Look, he raised Christ to let us know the following. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. He that hath the Spirit hath life. He that hath not the Spirit hath not life. If you want life, you must have life. God is life. Isn't that what he said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the rest of it? No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what salvation is, folks. Listen, the word salvation in the Greek simply means to rescue. Or to deliver. Well, if you're rescued from something, that means you couldn't help yourself, right? If you're delivered from something, that means you couldn't get yourself out. Isn't that why Jonah said salvation is of the Lord? Jonah couldn't get out of that whale, could he? No. He knew that. He knew if God didn't get him out, he wasn't going to get out. And so, a person has to see their condition before they'll appreciate the solution for their condition. Now, so he goes on to say, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you who? For you who? I call my brother Dan, give him a message alert. I said, I love Yoo-Hoo. He said, you know, I just bought some Yoo-Hoos for my grandchildren. Anybody ever drink a Yoo-Hoo? Well, it goes on to say, you who are kept by the power of God. I don't know about you. I like the fact that he's birthed me into the family of God. I love the fact that that means I've got an inheritance coming. We all want an inheritance, right? We all waiting for that rich uncle to die, right? Well, if you're like me, Mine's already gone. He didn't leave me a thing. Left it all to his children. Well, that's what he's supposed to do. But he says that he's got an inheritance for us. It's undefiled. It never fades away. And it's reserved for you, Becky. But now, what's the problem there? Huh? What? You have to get there to claim it, right? Well, you can't get yourself there, Becky. That's why he put that next verse in, though, isn't it? Well, isn't that what he said? Who are kept by the
power of God.
Isn't that wonderful? Dwayne, he not only saved you. That's God, he's put you in his hand. You're not getting out. That's what the Bible says. No man can get him from my Father's hand, for my Father is greater than all. The problem is, you got to get in his hand. And you can't just say you're in his hand, you got to be in his hand. If you're going to get these benefits, it'll be God's way. It won't be the world's way, folks. It'll be God's way. So he says, to you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, through faith, what does that mean? Somebody help me out. I'm stumbling here. Huh? Well, now, okay, let's talk about that, Dwayne. Is it your faith? What are you doing all crap for? Oh, I wasn't going to jump on you, honey. Normally I would, but I wasn't going to. Is it your faith?
No, it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with your soul, your inner soul, that not believe.
Well, let's narrow it down to where we can just grab hold of it and never let go of it. What do you say?
I did.
Why are you going to heaven? Well, now let's narrow it down now. Why are you going to heaven?
Because he chose us.
Because God said so. You're going because God said so. God said, if you will believe in my son, that's that belief, right? That's all you could do. You didn't have faith now. Don't believe this stuff. You didn't have faith before you believed. Faith is of God. That's a gift of God. God gives you that faith after you believe what he said. Because it's that faith that saves you. It's that trust in God that keeps you. But it's only after he gives you that. Your part and my part is to believe God. Believe his word. And then once you do, he gives you that faith. That's why he says you are kept by the power of God through faith. Faith being his word. You're kept by it because, bless God, he says you'll be kept by it. He says you will. I don't say you will. You don't say you will. God says you will. Who are kept by the power of God unto salvation. Ready? To be revealed in the last day. It's going to be manifest to you at the right time. At the right time. Wherein you greatly rejoice. We all do, don't we? We sorrow not as those who have no hope, right? We greatly rejoice in the fact that we know. We don't hope so. We don't guess so. We don't think so. We know. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Do you just think you are? Do you just hope you are? No. You know. You know you are two ways. First of all, because he puts the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and I'm going to tell you something right now. God on the inside of you, you can't mistake it. Huh? I'm telling you right now, when God gets on the inside of you, you can't mistake that. But also because of this, folks. He says that you may grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you dig this, boy, the more it just solidifies what you already knew. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and it's going to be revealed one of these days. So he says that the trial of your faith. Now you notice what he put in there? That pronoun your. Now it's yours. Now it's yours. Why? Because God gave it to you. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. In other words, the most pure gold there is. You know what's more precious than it? The trial or the testing of your faith. Because each time your faith is tested, it's solidified. It's made more solid. It becomes stronger. Look, folks, I get the fact that in this life, we have ups. We have downs. My little sister, she's going to be going through a downtime. But I told her the other day, I said, honey, just keep your trust in the Lord and the mountain will come. The trial of your faith is more precious to you than gold. Why? Because it solidifies what you have. And then he comes on over here in verse 14, he says this. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. You know what he's saying? Now that I've saved you, don't act like you did before I saved you. Act like you know me. You say, but Tom, can we just live any old way we want to? Sure you can. Sure you can. You can live. Listen, once you get saved, you live any old way you want to. You can live any old way you want to. What?
You want to live for the Lord.
What? Wasn't that what I said? Live any old way you want to. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you've got God living on the inside of you and you don't want to live different than you did before you had God living on the inside of you, God ain't on the inside of you. Now, I get that we're in the flesh. Boy, that's a daily thing, isn't it? Well, that's what Paul said. He says, I got to kill this thing every day. I mean, I got to knock this flesh out, kill it every day. But he says, that's not me. He says, that's the sin that dwelleth in me, in this flesh, he says. For he says, I see in this flesh nothing good. There's nothing good in this flesh. But folks, let me tell you something. You know when God's on the inside. And so he says, don't live like disobedient children. Live like obedient children. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living. Because it's written. In other words, my vernacular, because God said so. God says to be holy as he is holy. He says, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy, And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in
fear.
Now I'm going to tell you something. You can agree with me or you can not agree with me. I don't really care. You may be a child of God, but you better never lose your fear of God. Now look, I know what the Bible says about, for we are not given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I get that. But we better never lose our fear of God. He's God, by the way. And if you've got that fear of God, you're going to live like you've got a fear of God. I don't mean that God's going to slap you down, but he can. He's God. He was like my dad. I didn't have to fear my dad because he'd knock me down, but he could. I feared my dad because of two things. He could knock me down, but mostly because he was my dad. I wanted to reverence my dad. Well, if I wanted to do that on a human basis, how much more should that be with God? So that's why he says, listen, make your sojourning here with fear. Don't ever forget whose child you are. And don't ever forget that God hates sin. And if he hates it, we ought to hate it. That ought to kill us to sin, folks. You say, Tom, now look, come on. Now, the Bible says that little children, I would not that you sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with Father. I get that. And I'm thankful for that, by the way. Probably more so than you are. But I don't ever want to forget what sin does. I don't ever want to forget what it does to my Holy Father. My Heavenly Father. My God. He is of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. That's why, my friend, you know when he looks upon you, he don't see you. And you better be glad he don't. If he don't see his son when he looks at you, you're in bad shape. I'm telling you right now. That's why the Bible says, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are. Listen, if you're not in Christ, God sees you for exactly who you are. And that won't work out. He's got to see you in Christ, his son. Because only there, the Bible says, only there are you in the rock of his salvation. So he comes on down here and he says this. For as much as you know. That word means complete knowledge, folks. Now, how do you know? How do you know what I'm about to read? Well, let's see. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your empty life. A life without Christ is empty, meaningless. I don't care if you do more philanthropical, is that right? Give a lot to the poor. I don't care what you do. I can't pronounce these big words. It doesn't make any difference how good you are if you don't have Christ. Because your life is empty. That's what God says. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now the word precious How many of you have ever seen a newborn baby? And you said, how precious. Now you knew what that meant, didn't you? It meant it was just so sweet looking and so innocent looking that you just wanted to take it and hold it and, right? But why would a mother say that child is precious? She sees the value of her child, folks. That's what the word means. Valuable. God's blood, although endearing, is valuable. Its value is salvation. That's why it's more valuable than all the gold in this world. Because all the riches of this world can't save you. But God's blood. And if I could paraphrase it this way, I don't think I would hurt the scriptures. One drop. One tiny drop of His blood will save you. That's why He says it's precious. And then He comes on over to the next chapter. And He comes down there about seven verses down and He says this. First of all, He says that Christ is precious. He's a precious stone. And then in the very next verse, it says this. They that believe, to them that believe, He is precious. I told my brothers, I told Dave, I can't remember, he'll forgive me if I didn't. But I told him, I said, boys, at my funeral, you can say Tom saw Christ as precious. He's precious to me. He's valuable to me. I can't wait till I can do that. You know, I know that everybody thinks that He's just mythical and a spirit and all that. No. Bible says one day I'll look upon His face. Well, if I look upon His face, I believe He's just going to let me bow on my feet, my knees, put my arms around Him. Say, you're precious to me. You saved an old boy wasn't worth saving. Wasn't worth a plug nickel. He's not only saved me, He's blessed me beyond anything I could ever imagine. Spiritually, financially, health-wise. All because I believed Him. So simple. Well, then He comes on over in the next 2 Peter and He says this, that we've been given a like precious faith. Now look, if He's precious, and He makes us precious, then the fact that we're trusting in Him has to be precious. Because it's based on His precious word. Psalms 116:9 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the passing of His saints. I know that when our loved ones die, it's sorrowful to us. But not to God. It's sorrowful to us because we can't do anything about it. You remember I told you the reason that Jesus says they're asleep is because He can wake them up. You'll never hear a loved one go to a casket down here and say they're asleep because we can't wake them up. but he can. And one of these days, he's going to wake me up from a sleep. Therefore, that faith that I have in him is precious. And then he says this, and I'm done. He comes on about two verses later, and he says, whereby he hath given us great, exceeding, and precious promises. He's promised you life, Becky. He's promised you an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. He's promised to keep you till you get there. Hallelujah. With all your faults and failures and your stumblings and everything else, he's promised he's going to keep you till you get there. What a blessing. What a God. No wonder he said, for how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? If you neglect, if you pay no mind to, if you won't listen to. Now go to, she's already left me. I had a verse I wanted to read. I'll have to read it myself. You hang on now, I'm coming. And then I'll finish with this. Here's what the wicked say, folks. God saying, here's what they say. Not what I say, they say. What God says. Come ye, say they. I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. God says this, take no thought of tomorrow, for who knoweth what a day may bring. If I knew what I know and I didn't have Christ, I wouldn't leave this place without him. Thank you.